This week has been about family and way too much food and the spirit of gluttony and all of those kind of things. And we're not going to preach on food or gluttony today. But it was a great, relaxing time with friends and family through the week. But there's just something about being in the house of the Lord. It's just something about being in His presence with His people. Thursday night, I was sitting at home and was thinking I should be somewhere. Where am I supposed to be tonight? There's just something in my spirit that desires to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful for the times that we have to spend with our family and friends, enjoyed every minute of it. I told a few people today that we had to spend time with family as well, but that's not how I view it at all. Enjoyed every moment, every laugh, every smile, every shared look and smirk and joke and story. So good to be strengthened by your family. Amen. So vital to spend that time. Amen. Today's lesson is on Paul's prayer for love, knowledge, and discernment. I believe this is the last lesson in this series. And I have enjoyed all of these lessons tremendously and looking forward to the next series that's coming up. Amen. Anybody going to be here next Sunday morning for Sunday school? Praise God. Amen. So good to have not just our saints here today, but all of those on Facebook Live that are joining us. Sister Esther, I believe, is at home right now watching. Is your wife as well going to be watching this morning? I love to have the opportunity to be able to be in people's homes. Amen. And share the word, whether it be on their phone or their tablet or on their computer, whatever it might be. But we're glad that you are with us today, and I pray that this lesson blesses you, touches you. Don't forget to tune back in at 11 o'clock for our worship service. Amen. Today, we're going to look at Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. Just these three short little verses. Philippians 1, 9 through 11. And our focus verse is verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I read that slow because we're going to be slowly walking through those verses today. Seems like once we get to the New Testament in our bread or our daily Bible reading, we're like, man, these are some short books. We can blaze through these ones and get done early. But there is so much meat, amen, in the New Testament. Praise God. In these letters that were written, and we're going to look at that today. Our focus thought, prayer for love, knowledge, and discernment equips the believer to live a fruitful and righteous life. Who today wants to live a fruitful and righteous life for Christ today? I know I do. I don't want to just float through life. I want my life to mean something. I want my life to show forth fruit. Amen. Amen. Paul was a professional letter writer. He also did many other things, but he enjoyed writing letters to the churches. Paul often opened his letters by introducing himself and praying for the ones who would read them. It was just the way that he operated. He would sit down in his prison cell and pen the letter to the church in Philippi. And a smile would come across his face. He loved all of the churches to whom he wrote and preached, but there was something special about the church in Philippi. Some even thought that it might have been his favored church. Of course, we're not supposed to have favorites. Praise God. Supposed to love everybody. But you all know you got favorites. Y'all got favorite preachers. Y'all got favorite churches and favorite sermons, favorite verses. So it's possible that this may have been Paul's favorite church. Praying for abounding love. Praying for abounding love. Philippians 1:9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. It is the question we ask before every birthday and every Christmas day, especially, let's go with even Father's Day. What do you give somebody that has everything? Somebody that has everything. What about somebody that has every tool known to mankind? I think of trying to give a gift to my father, who has had everything and has wore everything out through use and tools and all of the things, every tie that he's ever gotten. We tried to find, he started liking the miniature train sets, and we would find trains, and we would find extra tracks, and even at the end of that, we run out of things to get somebody that has everything. We ask the same type of question about prayer, only in reverse. What do we ask of the Father who has everything and can give us everything? What can we ask of Him? Do you ever, is your mind ever just blown about how amazing God is and how much He has for you? And in prayer, you have all of these dreams of what you think you can do for the kingdom of God, and you're asking God, but it's like, well, I could ask Him for this, but I could ask Him for so much more, and you do the one-up thing, and you just keep trying to think of something greater that you could become or something greater you could receive from God. What can we ask of the Father who has everything, can give us anything? When Paul prayed for the church in Philippi, he prayed for them to have abounding love. When we're praying for people and we don't know what to pray for, pray that they have abounding love. God, I don't know the needs in their life. I don't know the situation that they are in currently. I don't know where they're at in their relationship with You. But today, let them have abounding love. There's a reason Paul was praying for the church to have abounding love. Powerful preaching, beautiful singing, meaningful testimonies, full altars, large offerings. Paul flipped past all of that and chose to pray rather for an abounding love. He understood that if we were filled with love, their preaching would be more powerful. Their singing would be more beautiful. Their testimonies would be more meaningful. Their altars and offering plates would be full. Their lives would be far more fulfilled. Paul prayed for the root cause. The root cause. If we could get to the root of the matter. If we could get to what's really important. What is truly important is having abounding love. If we get to the root cause, that will bring about the desired results. But I'm working with so-and-so in a Bible study, and we're not really getting past a certain point, and it feels like we're just kind of hitting the wall here, and we don't quite understand, and we're mentoring, and we just feel like we're hitting a wall in teaching and growing people and trying to perfect the saints, and we're just hitting a wall. We don't know what to do. Let's get to the root of the matter, which is having abounding love. And then we will see the results that we are looking for in their life, in the change that God wants to bring, in their ministry, which is growing, in their life as a witness. We will see that grow if they have abounding love. Praise God. The imagery Paul painted in the Greek language was a river that overflows its banks. As more rain falls and more streams flow, the river cannot stay within its boundaries. It has no choice but to flood the plains on its left and on its right, softening the hardened soil around it until the soil becomes ready for growth. Overflowing, abounding, praise God. This prayer is a prayer for abounding, overflowing love to fill and overflow the heart of the Philippian church and every believer in every church. You know these letters were written to specific churches, but do you know that you're the church? And this letter was written to you. Amen. Praise God. Every believer in every church. Paul wanted to see God pour so much of who he is into who they were that the love of God would abound until it could no longer stay locked in the hearts of believers. Brother Thomas, your message last Sunday, your share of the scripture, is exactly this. We don't want to keep the light locked up within us. We want it to go out from us. And this is exactly what Paul is praying for this church. Let them be filled to overflowing so that it will break over the banks and flood into the areas around them and soften up or break up the fallow ground so that the seed that is tossed, the seed that is sown, will grow. And it all starts with abounding love. Abounding love. Praise God. We want God to produce fruit in our lives. Fruit in our lives. Now the prayer for knowledge and discernment. God help us there. Don't start naming people, but do you know people that need knowledge in their life? Anybody need discernment in their life? I have had airhead moments in my life where I wish the Lord had given me discernment about the situation, and I have put my foot right in my mouth. Both of them. Right? Walk into a situation and say something extremely off the wall, and it just not be right. And God gave me more sense than that, yet I did not have discernment in that situation. Praise God. But we need to pray for knowledge and discernment. Much of what is sold as love in the marketplace of public opinion is not love at all. Much of what is sold as love in the marketplace of public opinion is not love at all. Love that is marketed and sold in this world is not love. You will see it maybe as lust. Hedonism, which is the pursuit of pleasure. Pluralism, the individual identity supersedes unity. Supposed tolerance. That's a word that's thrown around quite a bit. Tolerance. You have to tolerate us by law, but we do not have to tolerate your belief system. Tolerance. Think about it. How about compromise? Compromise. Love. If you love me, you will compromise. If you really love me as a member of your family, you will compromise what you believe and what you do so that I don't feel condemned when I come to your home for Thanksgiving. Compromise. That is sold as love. If you really truly love me, you would compromise for me. You would compromise your belief in God to save our marriage. You would compromise your walk with God to keep our friendship alive. You would compromise for me. That is what is sold as love. But that is not love. That is not love. Paul pointed out, love has substance. Love has meaning. Love has boundaries. This love for which he prayed floods with knowledge and all judgment or discernment. Knowledge and discernment are as native to true love as salt is to seawater. They stand like sentries on each side of the river to ensure the river does not fill up with trash. True love has boundaries. It may sound contradictory, but this abounding love is blessed with boundaries to keep it pure. To keep it pure. The boundaries do not limit whom the river can touch. Boundaries limit what can touch the river. Boundaries. Ephesians 3:17 through 19. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. The love of God passes knowledge. Yet Paul prayed for us to abound in love filled with knowledge and discernment. So which is it, Paul? If God's love passes understanding and knowledge, but you want us to pray for knowledge? What do you want? It's both. God's love passes knowledge because we will never know how or even why he chose to love us. It is more difficult than understanding how more than 7 billion people can hurtle through space at 1,000 miles per hour at a 23-degree angle and not fall into oblivion. Right? Crazy. I don't know. It's science. God did it. I can't explain it. Why I'm not floating off of this earth. Kind of explain it through scientific reasoning and whatnot, but God placed it. He spoke it. made it happen. And we've just been trying to figure it out all this time. And he just did it. Praise God. Hallelujah. It would be simpler to understand that bit of science than to understand the love of a holy God for a fallen, sinful human being. Why would God love me? Why would God love you? Knowledge and discernment help us make the right choices in life. God's love abounds in knowledge and discernment to help us know what choices we ought to make. It is possible even for Christians to choose to fill their days with activities and busyness. Anybody there? That do nothing more than fill their days. Pastor says we're going to have extra revival services this week. And the first thing that pops into our heads is really one more thing. One more thing. How am I going to fit that into my schedule? Right? That's the society in which we live. That is the world. That is the mentality that we get from this world. How am I going to fit one more thing? Do we really need to drive to Kenai for special services? Right? Don't tell me you never thought that. I'm not the only one. Amen. Love you, brother and sister Churchill. Amen. Amen. Busy. We can fill our days with just busyness. But it is God's will for Christians to fill the days in their lives with the treasures that will fill their days with life, not just stuff to pass time. Thursday, I hope that you do not just spend the day with your family just to pass time, but to be one that would be a light in a family that may not know God, or to be that iron sharpening iron in a family that does know God. And to talk about the good things of God. Right? Amen. Amen. It's more than just being busy on Thanksgiving. It's more than just making all the food. There is more to our life than just the busyness of life. And we need to make the right choices in our life that fills our lives with treasures. And not just busyness. Philippians 1:10, that ye may approve things that are excellent. God, help me to discern the things that are excellent in life. Help me to discern and have knowledge of the things that are excellent, that are worthwhile doing. Help me to do that today. That ye may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. This is precisely the why for what Paul prayed in Philippians 1:9. Paul prayed for believers to abound in love with knowledge so that they would be able to approve or test things that are excellent. There are countless things in this life that are good, but only a handful of things that are excellent. Motto that I've tried to live with in my life for a very long time is that excellence honors God. I don't want to just do good things. When I do things, I want them to be excellent. I want love to abound in my life. I want God to help me to know the right choices to make that will be excellent and not just good. Not just good. There's so much good in this world. I know you don't hear that a lot over the pulpit, but there are good things that are happening. There are good charities that exist out there. There are good organizations that help around the world. There's Doctors Without Borders. There's the Salvation Army. There's thrift stores, and there's all kinds of things. There's soup kitchens and places for the homeless to sleep. There are good things in this world. But I don't just want to do good things in this world. I want the knowledge and discernment to do excellent things in this world and see lives changed because of this glorious gospel. Help us to go beyond just good things. Help us to go beyond good things. We need to choose the best over the good. How do we know how to choose that which is excellent over that which is good? Simple answer. We pray for the love of God to abound in us, along with knowledge and discernment, so that we can choose the best over the good. The question that we must ask ourselves, moment by moment, sometimes, daily, is, do we choose the best? When options are before us, do we choose the best things in life? The best things that God has for us or wants us to do? Do we choose the best, or do we find ourselves choosing just the good? When we spend our lunch breaks in the break room, do we talk about just work? Talk about our team? Talk about our co-workers, or do we also talk about our God? Do we give all? Do we give our all to meet our needs, or do we give our all to meet the needs of the people we love most and who love us most? Do we spend time in the foyer with our friends before service, or do we make our way into the sanctuary or the prayer room before service? Spending time and fellowshipping with our friends and family and with new people is a good thing. Spending time in the presence of the Lord, spending time in prayer, is the best thing. You see where I'm going with this? Do we choose the good, or do we choose the best? Do we give 10% of our income to the penny because we think that it will pacify God? Or do we give liberally from our hearts, because that's what pleases God? Do we read our Bibles each day just to check off the boxes on our Bible reading charts? Or do we read? Do we take notes? Do we ask questions because we are in love with the Word and we are in love with God who authored His Word? It is possible to live our lifetime filling those years with good, but it is far more fulfilling to us and pleasing to God to fill those years with the best. Amen. Amen. These questions are not to guilt anyone into a deeper discipleship or stronger relationships, but they are intended to cause us to take a long look at how we live our lives and to see if we are settling just for the good, or we are living for the best. Living for the best. Also, there is a desire for sincerity. Desire for sincerity. Paul's prayer was for believers to be sincere. Amen? Anybody know any fake believers? Good. No hands this morning. You guys kept a straight face. I'm so proud of you. Amen. Know any fake believers, people who are not sincere? Do you know any salespeople that are not sincere? As soon as I read that, the first thought in my mind was a used car salesman, and that is horrible. But that is the perception that is out there. Is they're going to mark it up, and they're going to try to sell you a junker for more money than it's worth. That's been the perception for years. I'm sure that there are a lot of great, honorable used car salesmen. Amen. Praise God. But that's the perception that's out there. But as a Christian, we are to be sincere. Paul's prayer for believers was to be sincere. So what Paul is saying in his prayer is that it's possible to be Christian and not be sincere. I think we need God's help as we walk with Him to be sincere. To be sincere in our walk with Him. It is so nice to see smiling faces walk in. Right? But none of us are dumb. God has blessed us with knowledge and discernment. And we know that not everybody that walks through that church door, even though they may have a smile on their face, is feeling that smile. It's okay to be real in front of a real God. God knows your heart anyway. And there are times that I come to church and I'm tired in body. I'm wore out. I might be sick, a little under the weather. I might have had an argument with my wife on the way to church. That's never happened to anybody here. I'm sure of it. And when I get here, I think, man, God's going to do a mighty work today because I am awfully grumpy. But we need to be sincere. When we abound in love, in knowledge, and in discernment, testing those things which are excellent, the light of the Word and Spirit of God should shine in our hearts and find our hearts to be sincere. Dishonest merchants would often cover up cracks and defects in their pottery with wax. Right? Looks perfect, flawless. You ever see a car that looks too good to be true? And the title on there says something like reconstructed or mileage unknown. There's some body fill on some cars out there. I bought a 1972 pickup truck, and it looked great when I drove away. The more I dug, the more body fill I found, because I was not an experienced car buyer. So merchants would take and cover up defects and cracks in pottery. Which pottery, it's kind of important. It's going to contain something, right? You want that pot or container to be able to hold the contents. And so when you're looking at it, you're looking for fine craftsmanship. You're looking for something that does not have flaws. Yet dishonest merchants would fill that with wax. That was the early version of superglue or caulking. But a sincere vessel was a vessel without wax, without flaws, perfect. No need to hide the defects or the flaws with wax because there were no defects or flaws to be seen. Sincere Christians live without wax. We don't have to put on the mask of the smile because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can sincerely walk in, even in the tough times of life, sincerely walk through those church doors with a smile on our face because God is good in the good times and God is good in the bad times. It doesn't matter what we're going through in life. God is faithful to His people. So we can have a smile on our face and it can be sincere. There is no need to hide hypocrisy with a smile when there is no hypocrisy. There is no need to hide dishonesty with more dishonesty when there is only honesty. Nothing to hide here. This was Paul's prayer for them and for us. It was a prayer that we would be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Amen. Praise God. This portion of Paul's prayer gives us insight that we are to strive to live sincerely without offense until Jesus' return. That call to sincere discipleship stretches from our youngest disciple to our eldest senior. There is no one exempt from the call to live sincerely without offense until the day of Christ. Praise God. But there is a hope that one day this battle will be won. And we will sing triumphantly along with the apostles and all those that have gone on before us. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. The results of this prayer. This is the results of this prayer. And this is Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. There is a way to know whether we are living what Paul is praying. Did you know that? Just like he's wanting us to test things, people will know. People will know if we are living with abounding love and knowledge and discernment. God, help us today to show this. In the spring of each year, something almost miraculous happens. I'm going to go with miraculous happens. In communities in cold climates, trees that were pounded by snow and beaten by wind awaken to life. As the weather warms, the trees brighten with beautiful, vibrant green leaves. Then blooms shoot forth from their once barren branches. And before long, apples are hanging ripe for picking. Fruit trees bear fruit. Boy, this is simple this morning. Fruit trees bear fruit. We do not have to know who planted them, when they were planted, how many storms they've endured, not how many times they've been pruned, how many raccoons have run up them, or how many birds have nested in them. We do not need to beg, barter, bargain, or plead with a fruit tree to bear fruit. It just needs time, sunshine, rain, sometimes a little fertilizer, pest and disease management, and some pruning. Right? We do not need to know any of the science behind it to take a bite of a cool, crisp apple from that tree. A fruit tree bears fruit. Amen. In like manner, spirit-filled Christians bear fruit. What is your life bearing? Are people seeing the fruit in your life? If not, you might not be a fruit tree. I don't know about you, but I want to be a fruit tree. Amen. I want to bear fruit. Praise God. We do not need to beg or barter with God to allow us to bear fruit. We do not need to pray or demand that we bear fruit. We just need to be filled with the Spirit and allow the Spirit to bear fruit in our lives. Praise God. Christians will be marked by the fruit in their lives, not by the church they attend. They will be marked by the fruit in their lives. Christians will love when the world hates. Christians will be joyful when the world is depressed. Christians will have true, lasting peace when the world is in chaos. Christians will be long-suffering when the world is impatient. Christians will be gentle when the world is harsh. Christians will be good when the world is evil. Christians will be meek when the world is proud. Christians will have faith when the world is filled with doubt. Christians will be self-controlled when this world is out of control. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody want to be a fruit tree? Praise God. Hallelujah. I want my life to bear fruit. I want my life to bear fruit. You don't have to beg and plead for it. God, please let fruit. Let me bear fruit, Lord. Get filled up with His Spirit and your life will bear fruit. Hallelujah. 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 And this is all for the glory of God. The fruit of the Spirit will automatically grow in our lives as long as we are filled with God's Spirit. It really is that simple. It is all by Him and it is all for Him. That is why Paul wrote, "The fruit of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." The fruit in our lives comes from God and is intended for His glory. Intended for His glory. Praise God. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. 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 I want my life to bear fruit. Amen. God gives it, and it's all intended for Him. Praise God. Everything that we do, everything in my life, I want it to give glory to God. Praise God. Whether I'm singing or speaking or witnessing, whatever I'm doing in my life, I want it to give glory to God. Praise God. He is worthy of our best. Not just good, but our best. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prayer requests this morning. I do know Holly's surgery is scheduled for Tuesday morning. This Tuesday morning. Sister Walker is recovering. You continue to pray for them. And Brother and Sister Wade. That God would encourage them and be with them, strengthen them in Jesus' name. Are there other needs here today? Sister Phoebe.
My sister-in-law, Charlotte, fell and broke 3 bones in her shoulder. She has congestive heart failure and diabetes. Mm-hmm. So to do surgery, she's high risk. So.
In Jesus' name. We need a healing. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Right.
And, it's pretty serious. Her heart's not having a little bit too low, so we need to deliver her.
In Jesus' name.
Elizabeth,
in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, God can heal. Brother Cliff. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody believe that God is a healer? Anybody believe that God is faithful? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray together. If you remember all the names, praise God. Help us out this morning in Jesus' name. God, we love you, Lord, today. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, God, and your faithfulness to us. God, you have proven yourself time and time again as our healer. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise. God, you are the healer in our lives, God. God, you heal emotional wounds. You heal physical needs in our life, God. You heal us, and we're thankful for that today. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for each one of these needs. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, you would reach in right now, God, and minister, Lord, to these needs. God, let your healing touch be there. I pray that you would get glory in every one of these situations, God. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, God, we come faith-believing, God, that you are able, God, and willing, Jesus, to meet these needs. In Jesus' name, and we pray that you would get the glory in all of it today. In Jesus' name, God, we pray, Lord, today for our pastor and Sister Glover. I pray, Lord, as they are away, that you would be with them. Strengthen them, I pray, God. In Jesus' name, God, be with them. Give them a time of rest, I pray. In Jesus' name, God, be with their family, I pray. In Jesus' name. God, now I pray for our service at 11. I pray, God, that you would be with us today. God, minister to every need that is in this house. In Jesus' name, God, fill us, Lord, once again with your Spirit today. In Jesus' name, to overflowing, God, I pray that you would fill us with abounding love, God, today. In Jesus' name, God, we worship you. We give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. In Jesus' name. We've got a few minutes before our worship service begins. Shake somebody's hand, hug their neck, unless they're sick. In Jesus' name.